The following previews are of Graphic Audio Productions, rated for mature audiences due to scenes of intense violence and sexual situations.
Finley Campbell was a hero of the Great Rebellion, but now he's a man adrift, a warrior without a clear enemy to fight. Once the legendary masked gladiator in Golgotha's arena, his true identity unknown to all but a select few, he unwittingly killed the brother of Julian Skye, the man who would later become his best friend. It's a secret that has burned in Finley's conscience ever since.
I killed a lot of people fighting in the arenas. It's kill or be killed.
But Finley's not the only one with secrets. His true love, Evangeline, has never told him the full extent of her twisted father's depredations.
Welcome home to your daddy's loving arms.
These and other dark revelations have been dormant until now, when the web of deceit inevitably begins to unravel, with devastating consequences for the guilty and innocent alike.
And who might this person be?
How the hell are we supposed to fight something like that?
Deathstalker Honor, Episode 4, No More Secrets.
Deathstalker Honor, Episode 4, No More Secrets, will be in travel centers and truck stops throughout North America starting April 2006. Or call 1-800-670-5220 to reserve or download your advance copy of No More Secrets. For your convenience, this information is also printed on the cover of this book.
The USS Hampton, a guided missile cruiser, floats in the Pacific Ocean 100 miles east of Japan. Its crew prepares to conduct top-secret initial trials of the Plasma Propulsion System Multiple Delivery Missile, PPS-1 for short. The missile utilizes Teflon fuel. Its top speed is theorized at over 30,000 miles per hour. No known defense system can counter it. But the Hampton is about to be attacked by six unmarked and heavily armed helicopters. 37 sailors will lose their lives, another 28 will be wounded, and five PPS-1 missiles will be stolen.
Lieutenant Sturr, bring the phalanx to bear. Order the gunners to fire at will.
The phalanxes are out of commission, sir.
All thumbed up?
Yes, sir. The 127s aren't responding either.
How is this possible? It just can't be!
Captain! Look out there! Look!
Lieutenant!
Mac Bolan's going to need all the help he can get to retrieve the missiles. And help comes in a tight little package named Kerry Tanaka, a Stony Man operative from Tokyo, who's beautiful, intelligent, and lethal.
Look out! Up ahead, it's an ambush!
Hang on! Nice shooting!
Watch the road!
Together, they'll follow a trail of peril that will lead to an ancient fortress hidden deep in the mountains of China.
So, we finally meet face to face. The one person who might have stopped me. And you've arrived at this most momentous time. Perhaps it would be fitting to keep you on hand to witness the destruction of everything you hold dear. Or perhaps I can amuse myself by slaying you in hand-to-hand combat first.
Bring it on, General.
Mac Bolan number 82, Warload, available in April 2006. Don't miss it.
Mac Bolan number 82, Warload, will be in travel centers and truck stops throughout North America starting April 2006. Or call 1-800-670-5220 to reserve or download your advance copy of Warload. For your convenience, this information is also printed on the cover of this book.
And now, our feature presentation.
Graphic Audio. A movie in your ears.
Western wind, when wilt thou blow, that the small rain down can rain?
Doc Tanner was truly happy. The assorted horrors that had blighted his mind and brought him teetering to the far edge of madness had faded away from him like the dew in the morning.
Oh, that my love were in my arms, and I in my bed again.
It was a fine summer afternoon in Omaha, Nebraska, in the year 1896. He was 28 years old and had been married for just a few weeks over 5 years.
Such happiness, Emily.
He smiled at her. His wife smiled back and reached out to him, squeezing his hand between her fingers. She wore a dress of flowered gingham with a bonnet trimmed in white lace. Her high-buttoned boots had picked up shreds of dry grass and seed from the meadow where they'd come for their picnic. The children played on a patterned blanket close by. 2-year-old Rachel, toddling bravely on stumpy little legs, laughed as she vainly reached out to capture a bright butterfly. Her baby brother Julian, approaching his first birthday, was content to lie on his back and kick his bare feet at the soaring golden ball that floated in the perfect blue sky. An angled parasol protected his sensitive skin from the direct heat. Doc Tanner had always thought that Emily had a lovely voice. The remains of their meal lay spread over the damask cloth. Some slices of honey-roasted ham, 3 different jars of pickles, half a new baked loaf, and some butter wrapped in damp muslin to help keep it cool, a bowl of lettuce and tomatoes, wilting a little now, and a crock containing several different cheeses.
You always like cheese, don't you, dearest? I mean, that you used to like it, didn't you?
Emily turned to him, her smile sliding away into bewilderment. Clouds were gathering along the horizon of the prairie, threatening a storm. The horse that stood patiently in the shade of a clump of live oaks, freed from the traces of a wagon, seemed disturbed.
Why do you say that I used to like it, my darling? I still do, most truly.
Doc blinked. For a moment his vision blurred, and he shook his head. His wife's face, better known even than his own, seemed to shimmer as though a fog had dropped between them.
Emily!
The clouds were coming swiftly toward them, changing color from white to leaden gray to a peculiar pinkish-purple hue. They resembled a livid bruise, he thought.
The children, beloved!
Yes, it was Emily. It was her.
Indeed. Let us take them to the carriage and get shelter from the storm.
I'll gather everything up, ready for next time.
She looked at him, and it was though a great dagger of smooth ice had been thrust into his heart.
Because there will never be another time, Theo, my dear.
I know that. By the three... I fear that I disremember what...
All around him the grass was growing, sprouting faster, so that baby Julian had already vanished. And Rachel's head barely showed above the waving tips.
Oh, help me, Papa, for I am frightened!
Oh, Western!